want to talk about David and the cross, which sounds a little strange. I mean, doesn't it? A little bit? David and the cross. Because we think that, well, what could they know about the cross? And where I want to go is into Psalm 22. And most of you know what that is. So I'm going to read it. I'm going to start by reading it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Isn't it funny that people quote that, he inhabits the praises of his people, but they don't go, my God, where, you know. They leave a little bit of it out. We tend to pick and choose what we like, or can I say what our flesh likes. Come on, let's be real. So, our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm. Anybody know what that word is? Scarlet worm, red worm. It's a thing we studied in the book of Jonah. And it has deep spiritual significance. I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. And so you're getting deeper into what Jesus went through. But I'm a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people, and all that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighteth in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. And I think I'll stop there. Well, let me just read a little of the notes. God himself spoke this to David. God spoke this to David. Or shall I say, David heard this? Maybe that's a better way of saying it. David heard this from God. Thousands of years before Jesus ever spoke them. That ought to send chills down your spine that David heard Jesus on the cross thousands of years before it even happened. But it wasn't him hearing Jesus on the cross, it was him just hearing God. This is what he heard from God, and he wrote it down. This is what he heard from God. There is no doubt that these words came from God. It is the words of Jesus on the cross. And I wrote, what cross? What cross affected David? And this is important because you know, I mean, if you've ever been in this Bible school or through this Bible school or even in this church, you know that there are many, many different angles of the cross. There are so many ways of looking at it and different things that come forth from it. And David, it doesn't say it clearly shows that David heard this from God. But it doesn't say God showed him a picture of Jesus on the cross. Okay. What would these words mean to someone who didn't know how to work the cross into this or wasn't aware of the cross? Well, since this was just words that he heard from God with no thought of a cross, then what David would hear, because it's just that God, his God, the sufferings of his God. Amen? Now that, we're talking about going deep. We're talking, you know, and not in the traditional sense of, well, I want to go deeper, you know, I want to learn the book of Acts. You know, I'm talking about really hearing, to be able to hear something like that, because that's Jesus at, you know, in his worst, if you will. And God himself is, maybe, who knows, because see, God at that time while David was alive, maybe, you know, he's going back and he's looking at that moment, you know, I mean, God's God, so maybe he's looking at that moment and remembering the pain or whatever, or knowing what the pain will be. But David's not. David is not given any inkling of what is causing this. Only that his God is in incredible pain. So, I put down, what cross affected David? It was the reality of the sufferings of God that showed him God and the deep anguish and hurt that he bore. So what must this do to a human, you know, to David, to a man, to hear such anguish from God, and he's opening, that God is opening the secret hurt places to him, and he's, you know, what can I do? You know, I don't even know what's causing this. You know, is it me, Lord? Is it me? You know? So, I went on to, because I had to, you know, y'all, those of you that are going to listen to the, and not have the intro here, this would be, for me, a little bit like me laying on the grave of Jesus and putting my ear, you know, not the tomb, but if he had a, you know, grave, and I'm laying there just spread, you know, maybe even like a cross, but I've got my ear down there. And this is what I felt like the last few weeks. And I'm just trying to listen to his pain. And that's what David did. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's what David did. He was hearing that. So when God gave this to David, what was David doing? Was he praying? Was he working? Was he seeking the Lord in the scripture? The thought came to me that we think of David as being in the scripture, and he was, because he, you know, because he was with God and wrote down what he heard from them. That was the scriptures that he had. They were first God speaking there. I mean, think of that. Instead of just, you know, thus saith the Lord, or whatever, in some sort of prophetic way. The scripture at that time was primarily the Pentateuch. There were no prophetic books. This is David. This is what he has to work with. Maybe he had Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And if he had the historical books, they only went up to him. You know what I mean? Because everybody was going to come after him that was going to be in there, but all he had was what had come up to him. And I wrote, even if he saw something of Christ crucified in the book of Exodus or some other book, they would have darkly foreshadowed it, but not this specifically. Not this specifically. My God. My God. When we think of the cross, see, even when I say that, I rebel against my own words and teachings in the sense that with us, we know that this came from the cross. We know that. And so we apply it to that. But what difference would this make to us if we didn't know it, but we heard his agony? What difference? What kind of a difference would that form in us if we only heard our God speak to us in this kind of language without what was going on? I mean, would we think less of God? You see what I mean? Would we think less of him? Now we go, oh, he died for our sins. He died for all of us. You know, we put so much of what we know historically, actually, on a certain front, and then what we know theologically. Man, I mean, we're making a sandwich. It's got all kind of stuff that's going to dilute down just him one day talking about God, just him one day when David is probably in David's tabernacle, spending time with the Lord, and God says the words that Jesus will speak from the cross, but he doesn't know what that is. What is happening to you? To understand what I mean, you would say to him, well, what is happening? Especially if you love him and David loved him. What is it, Psalm 18 or something like that? I will love thee, O God. So he's having to distill all of this down into something that will help him better know his God, because it was shared in confidence. You know, and I think I addressed that here somewhere. This psalm gives much of Jesus' exact words. You see, to seek the truth of the cross may lead to redemption for us, but for David, David is hearing God's inward agony. All right. We know that Jesus sits on the mercy seat. He tells us to come boldly and to tell us his problems. And we all do it. And every generation does it. And every continent. Opens up and tells him what our problems are. But there was something about David, man after God's heart. There was something about David that made God think that he could open himself up and speak it to somebody that wouldn't ridicule him or go, what are you talking about? Or you know. I mean, think about that for a minute. That God himself would come to you and trust you to be able to open stuff that he wouldn't do to anybody else. So, well, I need to read that paragraph, that sentence again. You see, to seek the truth of the cross may lead to redemption for us, but David is hearing God's inward agony. Even many Christians who read Jesus' words in the Gospels do not grasp the pain found in these words. They read the same words that Jesus said. You know? Can we say we... Could we say we read those words and we might, you know, if you first get saved, you went through this for me? Or, you know, but with David, there is no redemption thing like that. Do you understand what I mean? In other words, there has to be a different reason. It can't just be, well, you saved me and thank you for going through this agony. It's what can I do? How can I help? And yet, you know, David surely knew, I can't help. I have no ability to help you. I don't even know what the problem is. And see, we know what the problem is, and we know about the cross, and because we know about the cross, it theological... I was going to say theological eyes it. Thank you, Mallory. We do. We make it a theological thing, or we make it when we're needy. We make it a dear thing that you would do that for me. Now you listen to my stuff, and you do it all the time. You know, it's almost like there's one big jolt, you know, maybe if we get saved and we realize, oh, and we weep and we go, God, you would do this for me? You know, I mean, and that is an incredible realization. But because we understand the cross and everything, we move on to what's going to benefit us. And we do it rather quickly. I mean, I'm not taking away from the initial time or maybe at other times that we really are moved. You know, for God so loved the world in this manner that he gave his only begotten son. So we would be moved. But it for us, it's always going to lead in our mind and in the course of the thing that David's experiencing, except our understanding of it because of the cross, it's always going to lead back to us and what we can get out of it. Amen? Oh, we'll just come boldly to the throne of grace. Oh, amen, you know. And we jump in on the faith to grab what we need, come boldly in a time of need. Amen? Time of need. But David is confronted with God's time of need. And, you know, see, this takes me to realms, I don't know. Because there is just no way to understand that God is crying out not to you to help him, really, but to just tell you the worst moment of his life. You know, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The rest of it. And I think personally that it would be better for us if we had heard this from him. But you see, we're not going to hear that because we're so busy with us. In other words, you know that I've got this here somewhere. I guess I'll get to it. But it is just this fact that, you know, I'm going to say it like this, but religion has formed a crust over eternal reality. And it doesn't, it's like this crust makes it where things don't get through the way they should, where we stop and we go, oh my God, you know? And then wouldn't you ask if you were David, why are you sharing this with me? Because I trust you. And God shouldn't have to say that if he did that to David. He shouldn't have to say, and he didn't. Because I trust you. Because I trust you. Because I believe that you won't freak out over God going through something horrible like this without giving you an explanation of why everybody wants to rip me apart and tear me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's the words that Jesus is quoting from the cross, you know. I'd left off reading, you know, the bulls of Bashan and all that kind of stuff. But we would have to spend time. I mean, okay, so there's the cross. But then there's just him. There's the cross, and then there's just him. And we get closer to the cross than we get to him. Does that sound crazy? I mean, you tell me, is that possible? That we actually get closer to the cross than him, and the cross really isn't him, the Lamb is him. And that's where you're going to get some my God stuff, you know. But we get closer to the cross, and when we're searching and or meditating, if you will, or whatever words that we use, we go to the cross and we feel stuff here at the cross. But David went here to him. Right? I think I'm standing in front of the word there. David didn't have the cross in that way to find him. just had to find him. The real him. The one that David always calls my God. David does that a lot. You know that, right? David refers to God as my God, right? And are you able to pick this up? Okay. But guess what? David is listening to the agony of my God, his God, say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That his God has a God. And it's his God. You know what I mean? It's his God. We would look at God saying these things without understanding the cross, and we would say, well, he's weak. He's weak. I didn't know this side of you. Does that make sense? That maybe we would wander there, you know. I didn't know this side of you. It kind of disappoints me. It maybe makes me wonder, if I really got in trouble, would you be able to help? In fact, this is the thing that's going to help. The weakness of God. That's what's going to help. But Jesus doesn't spell that out with saying, well, okay, but I want you to know about the cross. Come to the cross. Come to the cross. The cross didn't do that. The Lamb on the cross did it. The cross in itself was just what? Two pieces of wood. The point that I know that I want to make and for us to consider the prospect that we might could get close enough to the Lord, spend enough time with him in a real way, you know, that he starts speaking things to us that he wouldn't share with anybody else. Now, I'm not talking about exclusiveness, and I don't look at David like, oh, well, he's so exclusive, and, you know. I'm not talking about being exclusive, and let's pursue this so that we can hear special things from God's heart. That would be, to me, a violation of the very thing that David had. What a horrible thing that would be. But to say, but to not say, to show God that you love him. And because you love him, he knows it and has the freedom to say whatever he wants out of his heart. And I'm not even talking about correction. I mean, he should have that anyway, right? Amen? He should be able to just say, hello, I'd like to talk with you a minute. And you should say, come right in, you know. Not, I'm busy with the dishes. Goodbye, Jesus, you know. But I'm talking about much deeper than that. I'm talking about, but see, how do you get to that place, especially with so much, you know, that we've been, had, where we, you know, we draw near to the cross, which, by the way, the cross isn't around anymore. It probably rotted and is gone. I'm sure somebody has one in their basement and they're saying this is the one. But we're drawn near to the cross without knowing the heart and the beauty of the one that went there. And is there any way that we can ponder that without adding the last two words being for us? For us. The Godhead doesn't operate that way. They don't. So, well, let me read a little bit here then. Even many Christians who read Jesus' words in the gospel do not grasp the pain found in these words. But David did. David did. What kind of a treasure do you think David was to God? And he was just a man, you know? He wasn't the Son of God. He was a man. But he was a man after his heart. That's what he was. There are amazing, I'm sure, televangelists and amazing prophets and amazing people, you know, doing great things that love God. But David didn't just love God. And he wasn't just after God. Aren't all Christians after God? I mean, you can, you know, if I may violate the truth. Shouldn't all Christians be after God? And shouldn't they all love God? But David wasn't after God. He was after his heart. He was after his heart. And you say, well, I think loving God and being after him for that was higher than being after his heart. Well, God doesn't, apparently. God thinks, if you want my heart, it's going to, like any good relationship that has, you know, wonderful times and, you know, up times and everything's going great and you're loving each other and then they get really bad and you still come together because you love one another. When you can go through all this stuff, the highs, the lows, the wide, the wild, the wrong, the right, and there's still love, then there is every chance of bringing about what God has in mind. Go ahead, have your, you know, throw your fit, you know, all this kind of stuff. I've done it before. I've yelled at God. I have yelled at him. And I said, I laid it on him, and I don't know for sure, but I got the distinct feeling that he was just listening like this, going, kind of, he wasn't making fun of me. He's just like, get it out, boy. Get it out, you know. And he wasn't going, well, I could squish you like a bug, you little idiot, Randy. But he could. God could. Is it worth it to fight through, to be able to have a heart-to-heart with the Lord? Is it worth it to know him in such a way? Because you do know that David messed up a lot, right? I mean, some of his mess ups, okay, let's see. He committed adultery and then he murdered the guy that was her husband. Okay. So what does God do? Out of all your wives, Bathsheba is going to bring forth the one that I want, Solomon. Bathsheba. This is a scandal in the church. This is The Lord knows what he's doing. We don't know. We got so much religion in us that we can't see things right. We have to judge based on failures, and we have to judge based on all of that stuff. And we have no clue. See, this is the truth. We have no clue and no right to judge a relationship between David, who was a man after God's heart, comparing it to us. Because there's a good chance we fall way short of that. You see what I'm saying? We don't know all of, I mean, we get an inkling from the Psalms, but we don't know all of the intimacies and the relationships and it's almost like we do, but we don't know it because that's not how we read the Psalms. We don't know the deepest, darkest pit of David being there and him, for whatever reason, not knowing how to get out of that deep, dark pit. Not knowing how to get out of it and not knowing how to get back with God and having fears and doubts. Anybody ever had even fears and doubts? Anybody had fears and doubts? Hey, there you go. Good. Maybe some of you have even been down in a deep, dark pit. But we don't know about the ones that David was in. Maybe they're not even written. And maybe God would leave them out just so you judge, just to show you who you really are. Because you don't know him the way David knew him. So God goes, you're a total mess. I'm not getting any of what I usually get from you, from your heart. But I don't care. I love you. And I'm pulling you out of this pit. And I want to show you my face. And then he goes, wah! You know? There's always hope. There's always hope. If we're real, we are hopeless. Okay. But to even say that means that we're looking for hope in ourselves. So I've got a suggestion. Try some of the things David did where he's not just digging around in two pieces of wood trying to figure out how this works for you so that you go, oh, I got it. Ah, okay, I'm going to be okay. Y'all know why you're laughing, don't you? All right. And that's why I preach, people. Anyway. But rather, you get over here to him. You go to him. And you just tell him. I mean, he's the one that died. He's the one that created the plan. He's the one who created you. He's the one that sees everything. He's the one that knows if you're on the right path or not, and probably doesn't care because he knows how things work out. You know? So, you know, we go, oh God, you've got to do something now. Tomorrow morning, do you know what's going to hit the fan? Not paper. And he's just going, yeah, I know. I created the stuff that's going to hit the fan. You brought it forth. And I created the fan too. We're not in near the danger we think we are in. But may I say this? Maybe we are in a little bit of danger because we haven't snuggled up to him like David did. Can you say it from there? It hasn't been a him for you. It's almost like he's in the throne room and you want to talk to him, and he's sitting there on the throne, and you have to drag the cross in with you every time. Here it is. Tell me something else new about it. You know? Just open my eyes, Lord. And see, it's even worse when we go, just open my eyes. I love you so much. I'm really with you. And he said, then drop the cross. Well, you can put it down long enough to talk to him, can't you? Good grief. And I, you know, you say, well, aren't you the man that preaches the cross like nobody that I'm familiar with? So, but if I'm not seeing Jesus, if my heart is not after him, if I'm after more information, for me, usually, right? Whether it's my need or my stature, I need to look better. I need to get a little taller in the Lord. So that people will go, oh, you seem taller. Meaning you're with the Lord more or something like that. Well, all I can say is that David, he makes me cry. He does. He makes me cry. He makes me weep. He tears into my being with his simplicity and with his desire for God's heart. And it makes me want to modify some of my ways and means. You know? Reevaluate some of them, my pursuits of what's important. And what's important is him. Now, in truth, just let me make this clear, and I'll think about ending. In truth, these two are the same. Him and the cross are the same, but not the way we see it. Come on. We see him separate, and for our purposes in this class that we're having, it's probably important that we start with seeing the cross as over there and Jesus over here, and we're going to go after a heart, not just a cross. Now, we may all think we're doing that already, but what one of the purposes for this sharing on David has been to show us a living person that had something so special that it makes you jealous and you want to just, I don't have any other words, dig in, but I'm not talking about just digging into the scripture, and I'm talking about just, I mean, how do you dig into him? You dig into him by relating to him. You have to quit the religious relating, and you have to just say, I love you, Jesus, and you're my God, and you know, it's not about your religious stature first. It's about him first. So, anyway, let me see if I've got, I know I have some more here, but. So I wrote down, and I read this for you. What cross affected David? It was the reality of the sufferings of God that showed him God. That's what showed him God. That's what opened him up to see God, was the sufferings, which, if we shake it on down and come back to it, he's a lamb, amen? He is. He's a slaughtered lamb. He's a slaughtered lamb on the throne. But this is not again, this is not trying to take us back to something. It's trying to take us into a view that we can get from the heart of David. And again, it's not David's heart. It's God's heart that you're going after. In other words, I have found, you know, Sarah, a woman after mine own heart. How's that sound? Wonderful, doesn't it? If we put anybody's name there, that would be, it's your heart that I'm after. It was the reality of the sufferings of God that showed him God, and the deep hurt and anguish that he bore, or that he was bearing right then and there in David's time. There, David learned a closeness with God that will last for all eternity. But how can this happen if the cross had not yet happened? Do we have mice in our building? What do we got? 5 minutes? Okay. I'm sorry I'm pausing here, but I may want to just wait. Yeah, I think we'll wait. You know, we can start now, you know that? And I don't just mean by a prayer. I mean by a you know. I would, you know, I mean, I know for me, as the Lord began to deal this to me and show me David's heart, show me his heart back to David, and then show me what God would say, and then show me what David, how he would react, and all this, just blowing my little world apart on a certain front. But my reaction, was, I want that. I want to know him in that way. I want to know his heart. I'm not trying to learn, you know, I started searching the scriptures, not trying to learn Psalms. I started reading about David, not trying to read Chronicles. But to just say, and I'll end with this, to just say, Lord, you had a special relationship with David. And David died. And they tore down David's tabernacle, where you and him had such incredible relating, and they built a big old temple called Solomon's Temple in place of it. And you made it clear to us, Lord, in the book of Acts and in Amos, book of Amos, the prophet saw it too. The book of Acts, when they were arguing over what's the right way to proceed as a church and all the silly ideas that they're and things that they're using as an explanation, James stands up, and he was at that time the head, you know, even above Peter. And he said, he quoted Amos, you know, that day we will rebuild again the tabernacle of David. Who wants that? Amos got that from God's heart. And then again, thousands of years later, the newborn church still trying to figure it out. And James, with all their things, they were all telling their experiences. I'm talking about Paul and Barnabas. They're talking about their experience. I'm talking about Peter. He's talking about his experience and what God did. And this is the proof. This is the direction. This is, and James just stood up and read the word. He just stood up and read the word. This is what God wants. And this is what God's trying to do. So, anyway, it'd be good to check those scriptures out, but it's not going to mean as much if you don't understand what was going on in David's tabernacle and what it meant to God. And those are the scriptures that show what it meant to God. After everything that happened after David died up to the newborn church, God was still longing for David's tabernacle. Longing for it. So let's be like David. Let's find what he longs for and let's go after it. Amen? Bless you. Amen. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you're our Father. We thank you that Jesus is in us. We thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. But Father, one of the things I realized as you were dealing with me was that just David's own desire was to be after your heart as a man, not as a Christian or a Jew. And that you're looking for us to do something that would just draw us closer in to you and draw us into more of your heart instead of religion, especially as it has been set up nowadays. So nothing will move us unless you do that. We know that, but I believe that like David, you moved on him and showed him of yourself, and it just drew him out to want to know more of your heart. So if it's that, release it. And may we have a heart to forget our heart and go after yours. In Jesus' name. Amen.